Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today, we'll talk about 8 things that could be disappointing to you on your Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 78 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go. We talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 78. Today we are going to talk about some things that I think could be disappointing to some people. And I wanted to just sort of give you a heads up in case you've never done them, because the definition of disappointment is when expectations don't meet reality. And so if I can set appropriate expectations for some of these things, then maybe you won't end up being disappointed after all. So as always, a reminder to connect outside the podcast on various forms of social media. And just a quick heads up that I just published the biggest post I've ever published, which is about how to find the right Disney World resort room. And I am mentioning it because I spent so much time on it. I spent 2 weeks working on it. And it's basically all the views that you can book at all the resorts and all the room requests you can make. And those don't always match. Like, Disney gives you more request options than are appropriate for the rooms that you book. And so my goal here was just to tell you what was valid for the type of room that you have booked. And there are maps for all the resorts and all that kind of stuff. So if you haven't already seen that, please head to the website and check it out, because I think it will apply to almost anybody who is planning to stay on site. So I want to talk today about some things that can be disappointing. And these are not things I necessarily think that you should avoid or not do or should ruin your trip or anything like that. They're just things that may come as a surprise if you didn't know about them ahead of time. And so I just wanted to cover 8 of those that I thought of as I was preparing for this episode. So let's get started. The number one thing that could be disappointing is ride closures. And I guess I should include show closures, because I've recently been hearing about some of the shows as well closing occasionally. So, you know, you've got your touring plan before you go, and you've got a certain order that you want to do visit the attractions, and then all of a sudden you encounter the next one on your list, and it is closed. This can be particularly frustrating if you have a FastPass Plus for that attraction, because that means that you're not going to be able to use your FastPass Plus at that time, although you will be able to use it later. So this has been happening a lot lately. I think that I don't know that anybody gets through a whole trip without experiencing a ride closure, but I think that the frequency has increased, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it can happen to anybody. So if you just go in expecting that to be a possibility and remaining flexible, then I think that you won't be derailed too badly. If you have a FastPass Plus and a ride is closed, they will usually send you an email. So if you have your phone with you, you know, be sure to check your emails occasionally. And they will say, this ride has been closed and your FastPass Plus can be used for something else. And then they will allow you to choose another FastPass Plus, or you can keep that FastPass Plus for that attraction and you can use it later in the day. So it's one reason to check your email, although I could totally understand not wanting to check email while you're on vacation. That is one use. So anyway, ride closures are very, very common and something that you should expect at least a little bit of. And for some people, it happens quite a bit. Number 2 is the weather. And I think right now it seems like you know, going to Florida this time of year seems like a fantastic idea for a lot of people. I know a lot of you are in places where it is snowing and ice and sub-zero temperatures. And so the idea of going to Florida sounds appealing. And I agree, right now it would be an improvement. However, the weather can be so extreme and really can throw your plans off. And this really hit home for me when I was at Disneyland because the temperatures there are so predictable. And it's, you don't have to have ponchos with you when you're in California. And you can pretty much count on the temperatures to be consistent. For, you know, every March is close to the same, for instance. And so, you know, you're going to have a light jacket in the, maybe the mornings or the evenings. Midday is going to be really nice. Rain's not a huge factor. It's just so predictable. Florida is not like that. Florida has extreme highs, extreme lows. More often it's going to be extreme heat than lows. But this time of year, it can be really cold. And rain is a huge factor. So, you know, rain that occurs for just a short period of time is not going to derail your whole trip. But we have had trips that were really, really thrown off because of intense rain. In November, when my son and I were at Disney World, there was so much rain that the Kilimanjaro Safari was completely closed down for a long time. And the driver of the safari truck told me that she had never seen it closed in the 6 months that she had been doing it. But occasionally that kind of stuff happens. And it's not the kind of thing where you can throw on a poncho and just keep trucking because it's torrential downpours. And particularly during hurricane season, that kind of stuff can just sort of show up and stay for a while. And so that can really throw off a trip. Extreme heat, you expect to have extreme heat in the summer, but like in October when we were there, it was 85 degrees. It was so hot. And that can happen. And then it can be really chilly. So when we were there last March, we were standing in line waiting for Hollywood Studios to open. And it was in the 30s, I think, which is, you know, kind of, it might have been 40, but that's really cold for Florida. And so, you know, you can have a lot of different extremes. And I think sometimes the weather and how it can impact your trip plans can be a huge disappointment. So it's just something to sort of try to look at the forecast before you go so that you have appropriate expectations for how your trip will go. Number three is transportation. Now, I try to set expectations for people on this as much as possible, but transportation can take a long time. And I usually say to allow an hour each way. And then if it's shorter, then you won't be as disappointed. But transportation not only can take a while, and this includes Magical Express coming from the airport, by the way, because those buses leave as soon as they get full. And that might be 5 minutes after you arrive. It might be 30 minutes after you arrive, but it's just sort of frustrating to sit there waiting to leave the airport. But in the on-site Disney World transportation, it can just take a while. You don't know when the buses are going to arrive, although they are putting things in place like screens at the bus stops so you can see when the next one's coming. But it can really take a while. And if you're trying to get between resorts, it's especially tricky because you have to get to a theme park a lot of times and then go to a resort. And that can actually take up to an hour and a half. And this is one reason that I often suggest taxis for some situations, because it's better to pay, you know, $15 or whatever the price would be to take a taxi than to be on Disney transportation for an hour and a half. So transportation can definitely be a slow process. Having said that, I still prefer to do that than drive because I don't like to drive, but people who anticipate this being a big problem for their trips might want to look into renting a car. I usually recommend that people who have cars, they will be better off using their cars, except for Magic Kingdom, because if you drive to Magic Kingdom, you have to park and then take a monorail or ferry over to Magic Kingdom. If you use Disney buses, the buses actually deliver you right in front of Magic Kingdom. So that will often be quicker. But if you have a car, every other place is probably quicker to drive. Number four on my list is that you may be disappointed that you have wait times, even with reservations for rides or restaurants. So, you know, when you have a restaurant reservation at a local restaurant near your house, you often will expect to be seated close to that time. At Disney World, it is not like that. It simply means that you will definitely get to eat there that night and that you can check in at your just before your reservation time. But the fact is that it could still be a while before you sit down and get to eat. And this can be improved if you eat or make your reservations at off-peak time. So you're going to have better luck with a 5 o'clock dinner reservation than you will a 6 or 7 o'clock dinner reservation. Because if you are there before the main rush of people show up, then your wait time is decreased. And that's true for quick service restaurants as well. But I think it comes as a little bit of a shock if you have a reservation and don't get to sit down and eat fairly quickly. So that would be my recommendation if you have table service reservations and you want to decrease waiting, is just to try to eat at off-peak times. And so you can probably predict what those would be, but basically for lunch, it would be eating at 11 or 11:30 for an early lunch, or have a late lunch around 1:30 or 2. For dinner, it would be eating closer to 5 o'clock or after 8 or so for dinner. And so that would be my suggestion to reduce those wait times. For rides, the FastPass Plus often, the FastPass Plus lines vary a lot by attraction. For instance, at Soarin', when you use a FastPass Plus, you are guaranteed to still wait a little while. Certainly not as long as the standby line, not even close, but it's definitely not a walk-on type of situation usually. You'll usually end up waiting about 10 or 15 minutes, which is not too bad, but other rides are much quicker. So the FastPass Plus lines can really vary in length, and that might come as a surprise, but it'll still save you time. So it's something you should definitely plan ahead of time. Number 5 on my list is strollers can be very difficult. Now, I still suggest strollers for people. Even if your child at home does not use a stroller anymore, I recommend it for a lot of kids. You know, like let's say your kid, grew out of using a stroller at 2 and now they're 5 and haven't used a stroller in a while. They might benefit from a stroller because, 10 plus miles of walking per day is difficult on adults, let alone children. However, if you have your own strollers, you might find it incredibly difficult using Disney transportation, for example, because every time you get on one of the Disney buses and some of the boats, you have to fold your stroller. And then when you get off, you have to obviously, carry it off and open it all up again. When you're in the parks, having strollers is complicated because you actually are not allowed to take them inside most places, most attractions. So you end up, using your stroller for a while, and then you have to pack it, and then you have to go through the line queues and the buildings and everything without it. So, even if you have a stroller, you end up having to carry a small child, or they end up having to walk. And so not only are you having to park it, but then when you come out of the attraction, the strollers are often not where you left them because cast members move them around and they may be in a totally different spot. And so you have to first find that area where your stroller is and then try to pick your stroller out of the sea of strollers because there's so many everywhere. So this is one reason I recommend that the handle of your stroller have something that's easy to identify, like a brightly colored bandana or a balloon or something like that, that will allow you to quickly spot it. But this can be really tricky. And another aspect of strollers that can be really difficult to try to figure out is where you put your stuff. Because if you are using your stroller for storage, then you may not know what you want to do with your stuff while you have it parked, because theft is always a concern. So my suggestion is to leave things in it that you aren't so worried about, but take things with you that you wouldn't want to get stolen. Such as cameras or, purses or wallets with money in them, that kind of stuff. But you may have to leave some of your things in it and just cross your fingers. Strollers, going back to number 2, which was weather, strollers are susceptible to the weather. And so if it is torrential downpour rain, it might sound like a good idea to head into a show or something to get out of it. But if you leave your stroller outside, which is the case almost everywhere, the stroller will be out in the rain. So if you want to avoid that, you may want to get a stroller cover so that when you leave it, it doesn't get soaked. I've heard of some people using ponchos for that. But anyway, just something to think about ahead of time because you don't want it to get soaked while you're inside. Number 6 is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I say this with some hesitation, but I still think I think it's a good thing to have on the list. Now, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train has a lot of sort of buzz around it. You know, the newest things always do. The newest things are the newest restaurants and rides are always the ones that have the most difficulty with reservations, and they're the highest in demand just because they're new. Disney includes Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in all of the commercials now, and it is a beautifully themed attraction. And definitely worth trying, but I think the hoopla around it and the fact that Disney promotes it so much makes you think it's going to be something really, really amazing, and I'm just not sure it lives up to that because it's just a relatively short ride, and it's definitely not very intense, which is great for little ones, but, you know, people that are a bit older and want to experience, you know, a fun ride might find it a little bit on the boring side, but it's very, very well themed and worth trying. It just does not live up to the hype, I think, that Disney tries to surround it. Number seven is Illuminations. And this one is the one that I have the most hesitation with mentioning because there are some diehard Illuminations fans. It's not that I don't think that people should skip Illuminations. I just think it doesn't quite have the effect as the other nighttime shows do, especially because it has a more serious story to it, and it's just a different sort of feel. So I've seen Illuminations dozens of times, and sometimes I see it three times in one trip because we like to stay at Epcot area resorts. So seeing Illuminations is easy when you can just walk there. But it just doesn't have quite the effect that Fantasmic or Wishes do. Particularly for first timers. So my friend Krista, who happens to be a big fan of Illuminations, I asked her, I said, if I put Illuminations on this list, are you going to kill me? And she said, yes. But she said that if you know ahead of time that there is a story to it, then she thinks that that will help first timers to not be disappointed in it. And so I think that she's right about that. And she said to me, so many people don't seem to get that it is the Big Bang / creation story. And then the globe that is on the water it reflects that there are plants and then animals and then humans and then human accomplishment. And then that basically what it's all about is love. And that after all is said and done, through the joy and the pain, we go on. So that I think is helpful in framing it because it just doesn't have quite the effect as the other shows. But if you can appreciate the story and what it's trying to tell, then and the music, because there's music that goes with it, then I think it can be a pleasant experience. Number eight, and my last one on my list, is Be Our Guest for Dinner. And this is another one that people just hate when I mention this, but Be Our Guest for Dinner, it just is a mixed experience depending on the day that you're there. We have had negative experiences there for dinner, but all positive for lunch. So, but there are lots of people who have had positive experiences at dinner. So that's why I say it's mixed, because you may go and have a great time, but there are lots and lots of people that go and don't enjoy it. We happen to be one of those families that don't enjoy it for dinner. And you know, lots of restaurants fall into that category at Disney World. There's lots of restaurants that aren't going to be super great, but I always want to call out this one because people seem to stress out the most about getting this reservation. Again, because it's the newest restaurant, it tends to be in high demand. And so I just want to set expectations that it's not perfect, and sometimes the food's not great, and sometimes the servers aren't super helpful. And, you know, they have it's a hugely popular place and there are just mixed results. And so I just wanted to put that out there in case you were considering it for your trip, that it may not be your best experience, but for some people it certainly is. So anyway, just an option. And if you can't get dinner, then go ahead and try lunch. That will open up as a reservation based restaurant for lunch, even though it'll still be quick service. You can start making reservations there on February 25th. So that'll be convenient that you have the choice. And breakfast should be opening up at Be Our Guest as a quick service very, very soon. I've seen the menu. It has popped up on the website and in the app occasionally here and there. But Disney has not given us any indication when breakfast is officially going to be available, but I think it'll be really soon. And so my personal preference for Be Our Guest would be to do lunch, and hopefully the breakfast will be a good experience as well. All right, so that's my list of eight. And I have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. And this is one I think I've mentioned sort of in passing here and there, both on the podcast and, you know, various forms of social media and on my website in a couple of different posts, but it hasn't sunk in for a lot of people. So I'm going to use it as a quick tip now to hopefully get this across. The quick tip is that on the night you are making FastPass Plus reservations for your trip, typically it opens up at midnight Eastern time to allow you to do that. However, if the parks have not closed for the night, you will not be able to make FastPass Plus reservations until they are closed. Now, I realize that this seems silly, doesn't make a ton of sense, but I think from Disney's perspective, they're still in the operating day from the day before, and so they aren't opening it up for a new operating day until they're officially closed. This is really only an issue if the day that you are supposed to be making reservations happens to be a busy time where the park hours have been extended to 1 a.m. Eastern time. And so if you log on at midnight Eastern time and nothing's available for you yet, then I would expect that it probably will open within the hour or so. And it doesn't hurt to check ahead of time to see what the operating hours are for that particular night so that you'll know what to expect ahead of time. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode78. That is the number 78. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.